next song we was holding hands. They called themselves the Hornstyle Band. We recorded this song with Lennox.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kinawea, K224CQ in Anahola, K284AL in Haleiwa. You can find us on the dial at 90.9 FM Hanalei, 91.9 FM Islandwide, 92.7 FM Anahola and Molawa'a, 104.7 if you are on Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable. And we stream worldwide across the globe at kkcr.org. Coming up is Monday Mixed Plate and Living Sovereign with Auntie Puanani Rogers. Living Sovereign is made possible by all the great listeners like you and Kauai Coffee and Kalaheo Chiropractor.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, postural training, cold laser therapy, and spinal decompression. Open Monday through Friday, now a second location in Kapa'a, 822-0711, or Southside Center at 332-5580, or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
And mahalo nui loa to our underwriters, Kauai Coffee and Kalaheo Chiropractor, for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Aloha mai, Evelina mai kako. This is Puanani Rogers, and welcome to our program called Living Sovereign. And I'm hoping that I'm addressing all of you people that know that you are sovereign because you are living in a sovereign land. Yoo-hoo!
Ayo.
Ayo. All right. We've got an interesting day today. First of all, happy first day of February 1st, which incidentally, and maybe not coincidentally, it's the same day as my program and the same day as the Na'i Aupuni Heva process has started today.
Ma'i Aupuni.
I did say. I want to introduce you to that Ara voice over there on the Ara microphone. In studio, we have our guest, Sean Cobb Adams.
Shane.
Oh, kala mai, Shane.
No worries. Aloha.
Aloha, Shane. Pehea oi.
Living in a sovereign land, day to day.
Ooh, I love it. All right, and then we'll be expecting a call from Oahu from Kalama Nihil.
Actually, Auntie, we do have Kalama on the air with us.
Let's introduce her.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Woohoo, hey, aloha. Hi, this is Nani, and that's Sean over there on the other phone, microphone, and Leilani is our engineer here today, so we wish you all welcome.
Aloha.
Hello for having us.
Who's us? Who's with you?
Well, I'm staying with Shane and with myself.
Oh.
Yeah, it's us
sorry,
three.
Sorry to include you in that us. But I don't think this whole thing is a caco thing anyway. So
hi, Polole. Thanks so much for accepting my invitation to come on today. I know you're so busy. Tell us about you. Well, you know,
about me?
Yeah. Tell us a little. Give us a little brief bio about who you are, so our listeners can get a little acquainted with you, Kalama.
Okay. Well, my name is Kalama Okainani. I'm a physician. My parents raised me in the sovereignty movement. My father was Kihei Solinihel.
Woohoo! My hero.
Yeah, my hero. One of my heroes too. Both my parents are actually my heroes. Sorry, I'm walking out of the office just now, so I apologize for the sound.
Okay.
But basically, that was named after Kalama Valley. That's actually where my parents met during the occupation at Kalama Valley.
Mm.
And from that day on, they decided, you know, when in the traditions of you know, our kupuna of old, is you named your children after significant events. And for our ohana, Kalama Valley was really a huge event for all of our people because it was a reawakening of our people as, you know, our ike and our as a lahui. We're kind of like we were sleeping and we started to get up. And since then, my parents have always been involved and they took me everywhere. I was my mother was pregnant with me during the Waiahole Waikane occupation, and since then, they were also involved in end-all evictions, and I was raised in the movement. I started speaking and representing internationally from the time I was about 9 years old, and I've continued in the movement since then. I became a physician partially because I saw what was happening to our people, but I also had tremendous inspiration by being a part of this wonderful movement called Onipa'ana Hui Kalo, which started in Waiahole, when we had a standoff, when we're demanding that the water be returned in Waiahole Ditch. And that became the first restoration of the water flow. And that was to reassert our rights as kalo farmers to have the waterways. And that comes from kingdom law, the pertinent rights, water rights of kalo farmers. For the past 20 years, I've been supporting the kalo farmers, both in positions, and also through Aipono, and as well as a lobbyist, community planner, and a feral farmer. And so, basically, that's my primary love. But periodically,
have you guys come
out of the woodwork and join in the larger movement.
Oh, sound like echoing, yeah. Kalama, I just got a question. I was wondering if your group ever came to Kauai to help restore an Ilo'i on Kauai.
Yes, actually, we went several times. We have quite a few connections over there. So we work with Kavika Winters, actually. He's like the director of Limahuli. He's had his roots starting in Onipa'ana Hui Kalo. And then he moved on to becoming an ethnobotanist and became a leader over in Kauai with a project restoration over there. We also have Chris Kobayashi, who is part of the Hui Kalo. Who is a farmer, also in Kauai. She helped start spearhead Onipa being involved in the anti-GMO movement, as well as we went to Anahola. Several different families we've been involved with. We identified and put priority towards Kanaka Maoli, who are interested in restoring ancient Lo'i for the purposes of basically feeding our people.
Hula hula. Cheering for you guys. And yes, I do know Chris Kobayashi. She's
one of our
best organic kalo growers on Kauai. Right?
Onipa'ana Hui Kalo is, we pretty much back in the, you know, started 20 years ago with looking at sustainable ecosystems, traditional values, informing our, idea that economy, food and health, as well as culture, and sovereignty are united.
Exactly. Food sovereignty. Because we're sovereign.
And it starts from how you get fed from the time you're born. And we basically teach the traditional farming techniques, and that includes, by its very nature, is organic.
Mm-hmm. Maika'i, healthy to the soul.
Aye.
Organic food. Okay, well, let's get to that topic. Are you heading down to Na'ia'opuni in Kailua now? Are you?
No.
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 Is it still on?
Right now, Kealani is the one who is one of the people, one of the basically moderators, one of the other leaders of protests in Na'ia'opuni.
Yeah.
That spearheaded that. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that one.
Okay. And my second question was, is the session still going on? Are they still out there on the street? holding signs.
The protest ended. Power ready.
Okay.
It was very good, though. It's really solid.
All right. So, give us a little bit update, you know, small kind, about what happened today. And yep, I checked Facebook, and yep, I saw the videos, and yep, I saw them kick out Uncle Walter.
What happened was, it was the first day of this Heva process called Na'ia'opuni, has the audacity to pretend that they are speaking for us as a people, when we know that it's basically a process that's been hijacked by the state of Hawaii to essentially quiet all of the voices that have come forward and have demanded that our people and our nation be recognized. OHUC was kind of started like that originally, and apparently they've failed to deliver on their duty to contain the Hawaiian people. And so, you know, Na'ia'opuni is just a recent incarnation, same as a Kaka bill. So today they had a protest. Protest Na'ia'opuni organized a protest over there, and Kealani came up with a brilliant idea of basically putting up these effigies and saying that Na'ia'opuni is hanging our nation out to dry. It's actually trying to pass over rights of our people, which they have no right to do so, if they have no right to speak for our people, and they're trying to basically extinguish it or kill it.
Right. I did see a sign that said Na'ia'opuni is the death of our Hawaiian rights, or something like that.
Right.
One of the signs there. That's real heavy duty.
What's that?
that's real.
Yeah, that's pretty
heavy.
That's pretty heavy.
Yes, to say that it is going to cause the death, and it's true.
Well,
that's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to do that under American law, I think, because they're trying to quiet the vested rights of the Kanaka Maoli people, and the rights that Kanaka have under the Hawaiian Constitution. But I think it's good to remember that, you know, this I've been calling it Ma'ia'opuni, because it really is a sick process. We got Hawaiians pitted against Hawaiians. And like you said, Kalama, they're trying to speak for the people, when none of them are really experts in anything that I would say qualifies them to speak for our people, you know.
Mm.
Our elite would never have let them decide the fate of the nation.
Mm.
But it's indicative that, you know, when they decided to just move forward and elect all 192 delegates, you know, it became clear to me that they're just making the process up as they go along.
That's what they did. Yeah. So,
well, it's easy to make it up when you already know the outcome, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're pointed towards federal recognition.
Yes.
You know, I've seen some emails going around from Bronson Ka'ahui. You know, and it's been interesting because he doesn't really have a background in law. He tried to kind of analyze the Larson case and, you know, basically ended up with a false conclusion based on a false premise, you know, because he doesn't really understand law, not international public law.
So that's causing all kinds of people confused.
Yes, confusion.
You know, us that are against it. And even more so, the people that are in it. And, you know, I heard this new word, confoolish. They're confused and they're foolish. Confoolish. Okay, so you know what? I was hoping you were talking about and whatever the outcome going to be, right? Well, shouldn't it be that they all get arrested for treason?
Well, I, you know, that's something that I think that right now, what we're looking at right now, from my belief, is that there were, it's like our nation is still growing. We're still growing and learning. I do believe that there are actually good people in there trying to have a positive effect. However, within the larger context of what is trying to be achieved, there's, just like the people, there's wonderful people on the Kanaiolo Valarol, and there's wonderful people that are in this process, but they are being used. No matter what you've done, if you're part of that 95,000 people that are on that roll, you're used to justify this whole process. And that's our political line, is that if you are participating as a participant, that you are actually validating this process. However, I do think that right now, my own perspective is, if you start off with a nation, our people have moved mountains. We've been inspired, and we've always been inspired by love of our people. To start off a nation to inspire people based upon treason is not something that I particularly think will be motivating. I think that our people are motivated by love for our people. Education, getting rid of the foolishness, getting rid of the confusion, that is our kuleana. Our people have gone through Kanaka trauma. There are some people that I think should be accused of treason. But if you believe that the kingdom laws exist today, the result of that is basically execution. So I think that if we're going to have accusations of treason, I think that's a pretty heavy thing. That's if we're talking about
it is, but like you said, people got to take responsibility for having their name on a process and being a part of things, because a lot of people were shanghaied into being on that list. And, mm-hmm. you know, without proper due informed consent, mm-hmm. this whole process has put them in a position of being accessories to treason under Hawaiian kingdom laws, you know, under the laws of the Hawaiian state, you know, that's basically tantamount to being an accomplice to treason. And that, like you said, is a heavy thing. That you're right when you said, I believe you're right when you said, we definitely need more education and to dispel the confusion, because our Kanaka populace is being kept ignorant of their rights for 123 years, you know. They've been kept ignorant of their own sovereignty and the fact that the Hawaiian kingdom and the Hawaiian constitution and the Declaration of Rights in 1839 secured the self-determination of the Kanaka people and freedom. And so we've been tricked into thinking that we need self-determination when we already have a Declaration of Rights that's internationally recognized that secures it. And so to me, it's been an interesting process of conflusion, you mm-hmm. know, because our people have been denied access to their own history and their own rights.
Yeah, and that's something to understand, that, you know, that process was ripped from us. It was torn from us. It was a process that was meant to extinguish us as a people. And so part of the educational process is for us to understand that as well. And I always tell people, you know, I was very, very fortunate. I've always been raised to believe in our rights as that we are independent. That was something that we believed back in the 1990s when everybody thought we were insane, when everybody was pro Kalahui.
I was working at Perfect Title back then with Keanu, and people called us every name in the book because we started a company under Hawaiian Kingdom law that we said, as Hawaiian nationals, we're entitled to start this Hawaiian company. We don't need a fine number. We don't need mm-hmm. a social security number. We're sovereign, and we have a right to conduct business in these islands as Hawaiian subjects. And, boy, everybody in Kalahui and the state, well, they all thought we were nuts.
Well, not me, though. I was in Kalahui. And I can remember, though, when I was ignorant for a while, too, about what the real situation was with our history, because I can remember when we were in Kalahui, We had a huge discussion on federal recognition, and we were kind of all for it because simply what that meant was that we wanted the federal government to recognize us as, a kingdom that still exists. So that's what we thought that action was for, not realizing that, you know, we're just putting ourselves in a deep hole there by supporting federal recognition. It's all changed now since then.
Well, and I think that's still going on some level because, like you said, Kalama, there's good people. I know some of them that are in this process of Ma'iaupuni that they want something for their people. They want something for the nation, but they're not really educated enough to know the difference between really the booby trap that has been set for us by America. You know, in my mind, federal recognition is a booby trap that America laid out a long time ago, starting in the 40s when World War II broke out. The United States started sending their ambassador to the UN regularly, once a year, to report that Hawaii was a colony and a colonial possession of the United States.
Mm.
And when they started to do that, which was a lie, when they started to do that, they started to push this colonial, post-colonial discourse onto Hawaiians. And that colonial, post-colonial discourse, 10, 15 years ago, everybody was talking decolonization.
It was,
right?
True.
When at Kalahui, they were talking decolonization.
Yep.
Because decolonization leads to federal recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawaiian's history and the history of our people is very different from that of the Indians, from that of the Maori, from most other indigenous peoples, because Hawaiians were the first indigenous peoples to get a Declaration of Rights, get internationally recognized, and have a constitution recognized in 1840 and then recognized throughout the world in 1843. At that point, our self-determination was exercised.
Mm-hmm.
And it was exercised in the form of that Declaration of Rights. In America, they call it the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
And
but
so,
we also had monarchs.
Yes, and so you can have a constitutional monarchy. It's just a different form of government.
And a palace.
Yep. And so...
And treaties.
Yes. And so there's an analogy in law and an incident that's quite similar to the Hawaiian case in some ways, and it's Belgium. So during World War II, when Hitler and Germany invaded Belgium, they captured the king, the Belgian king. And the cabinet and the ministry escaped to London. And so while the cabinet and the ministry had escaped to London, they reorganized the Belgian government and reorganized the government that was basically in exile because Belgium had been occupied. The Hawaiian case is similar but different in the sense that the Hawaiian state was a neutral state like Switzerland. So you can't wage war on a neutral state, but you can belligerently occupy them.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Acting Council of Regency in 95, under the doctrine of necessity, reconstituted the acting government, it was similar to what Belgium had done during World War II, but we did it from within Hawaii. You know, it was done from within the borders of the Hawaiian kingdom. And so that led to really this kind of change in the discourse, because from that point on, there was a small group of us, and that group has grown, who were speaking the language of deoccupation and not decolonization. And so a lot of the independence movement that you see today is kind of based on that research that Kenu did in those early years, and really restarted the Hawaiian government under the doctrine of necessity in 95, quieted all the land titles in Hawaii in 96 through 98. And so here we are 20 years later still, walking in a sovereign land, but, you know, I think the indicator for me of this whole Na'iaupuni process is that we still got a lot of education to do.
Exactly.
And so that we're coming back to the original question of treason. If you take a look at what happened, in 95, I give a great mahalo to Kalahui for really enlightening and broadening and creating another
great cresting of consciousness for our people. That was an educational process that they were a part of, that they made, that basically opened a lot of our eyes. And that's progressed now. Now federal recognition is considered conservative, you know. but part of that was because of the work that Kalahui did. And at that point, I don't think that, you know, it's the same exact situation that we are in now versus then legally. And I wouldn't consider people in Kalahui to be treasonous. I think that they're a part of a great awakening of our people. So that's why I say it's important to be careful about utilizing the term treason, because a lot of people, a lot of our people are patriots, and we're not necessarily all on the same page. But I think that there's a tremendous amount of people that are doing this out of love for our people and are just on different pages. So I always look at where people, the vast majority of our people were 20, 30, even 40 years ago. And remember that it was always joy. It was joy and love for our people that inspired us. It was never because we were going to imprison each other or kill each other. You know, so the inspiration always has to come from love of our people, love of our land, and love of justice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the love of justice really and things porno is the key to it. You know, our kupuna and our ali'i left us such a beautiful and wondrous legacy to be the first non-Europeans to achieve independence. You know, when you really look at Hawaiian history, it's something that inspires and really leaves me in awe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does. I always get this sense of awe and wonder when I'm reading through things like the Privy Council minutes, and it's, you know, it's a high bar to aspire to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see the change in the discourse and the education of our people. You know, I'm a psychologist by trade, and I firmly believe that our people have undergone a systematic, long-term, 123-year process of indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about people that are brainwashed and indoctrinated is, for a long time, they don't know it. I didn't know it.
Me too.
You know, as a young man and a teenager leaving high school and going to Oahu to go to college, I had no clue. You know, I'd grown up with a father who was older. You know, my dad's 90 now, and he had been raised by his kupuna, and so his kupuna that raised him were Hawaiian subjects, and so he kind of knew something of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they had been such a pressure, you know, 50, 60, 80 years ago, to be successful, to conform to the white norms. You know, it wasn't cool to be Hawaiian back then. And
that's true.
And to survive. It's to survive.
That's what it was. It was survival.
Dying.
Yeah.
Well, they were trying to disseminate our population.
And
it
was working.
Yeah.
It was working.
No, I mean, like, survival was a very, very real necessity. I mean, like, when you look at, like, you know, the middle 1800s, I mean, we just, as a population collapse. You know, so survival was priority number one. And our people did more than survive. We started, you know, we did like these gifts, the koi petitions, the leech, you know, how the leech gave, you know, their to the people. Like, nobody ever has done that. No government I've ever seen has ever done that for their people. And it was survival. It was in survival mode. And I think that that's something that we have to get out of that stage of surviving, and we have to get into the stage of thriving.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, to thrive and be able to sit here and have these discussions and have you on the radio with us today, to me, it's bright, and it makes me feel like there's hope, and mm-hmm. and we have, you know, we can sit on the shoulders of our kupuna and have these discussions that are going to help our people.
And that's a joy to be a part of that process, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I believe I live in the most exciting times of our history right now.
Yeah.
As a Kanaka Maoli.
We've definitely got a lot of action going on.
Really?
Well, it's all contributed to the work that has been done by all the many factions.
Right.
Upholding the
Kalahui
word.
Kalahui for one.
Kalahui for one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then basically that's kind of, you know, when we're talking about the protest by Yaupuni organizers, we put together, we made a decision that after, you know, we kept on hearing the kahea for an aha of the people, one not controlled by the state. And so what we kept on hearing it over and over again. And so what we did is we responded by having an aha aloha aina. And the aha aloha aina that we're looking at, and there's different organizers from every different island, is a very simple goal. Our goal is not to create a governing body. We're not creating a permanent structure. We're not, you know, being a lead and dictating to people where the direction that they're into. We're just saying there's, you know, uniting behind these very simple premises. One, that we are already independent, and we're simply reaffirming it.
Ew.
Two, Na'iapuni is not the voice of our people.
Ew.
Three, we oppose any current and future attempts to make us a federally recognized Native Hawaiian tribe. Four, that our people have been in the process of building and rebuilding our nation for centuries. This is not something that's new. The Na'iapuni process are trying to co-opt the idea that our people build communities, build nations. They're trying to say they're the only one. And what we're trying to do is simply identify, you know, not have, you know, one group or one argument predominate over the other. Just simply identify for all the, you know, for our lahui, that there are all these different people. Like, there are people like Kukahakalau is creating an educational system for the people. For myself, we're trying to create food systems for the people, looking towards an independent Hawaiian community that is self-sustainable, that doesn't destroy the environment, doesn't lead to climate change and global destruction. There are people out there that are building health systems for envisioning health systems for the future, Lawaia systems for the people. People who are looking at building archives for the people. And they've been doing this with independence in mind for the time when our nation is really able to knit itself and heal itself from the wanton destruction that was meted out to our people and to our kingdom. So there's also a rising group of people right now that are very interested. You know, again, like Kalekoa said, thank you, Na'iapuni, for identifying and you know, bringing this attention to, you know, our people and our struggle. That's
woke everybody
going on.
Up.
Yeah, I think that's the silver lining is that it's kind of galvanized the community. Because I think tactically what you're talking about is going to be critical at the next level. I believe that the deoccupation, we're well on the way to the deoccupation. And the next step really is going to be creating the political economy of our kingdom. And those systems that you just talked about, the food systems, the health systems, those are going to be the meat and bones of where we need to go.
We're at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to need to do some station information break here. And Kalama, can you hold on the line?
Sure.
Okay, mahalo.
Declare your love on KKCR. Donate $10 or more to KKCR by Friday, February 12th, and hear your declaration of love announced on every live KKCR program from 7 a.m. to midnight on Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th. More information online at kkcr.org or call 826-7774. Declare your love on KKCR.
What a great way to celebrate Valentine's Day. Declare your day, your love, here at KKCR. And I also want to let everybody know that tonight we have from 6 to 9 p.m. We have Ekani Kapila Kako, 2016, the 33rd season, Leap into Hawaiian Music, and that is at the Kauai Beach Resort. And that's between the airport and Waialua Golf Course, 6 o'clock to 9 p.m. tonight. So you better get on your fancy dress, yeah, and go on over. Tonight's guests will be Walt Keale, Stephen Inglis, and Chris Lau. I love it. Oh, we've got a great conversation going. We also want to give a shout out to our online listeners who are listening from sprinkled throughout the United States. Japan, Italy is online listening in, and
right.
Canada, as well as people throughout the Hawaiian archipelago. This is Living Sovereign with Auntie Puanani Rogers.
Oh, I hope my granddaughter is in Italy. I hope she's the one listening from Italy.
Yeah, no.
Hi, my kai. Okay, we're talking to the world now, huh?
Yeah. You know, talking about the world, there's a... can you introduce your guests again?
Oh,
the both guests.
My, okay, here we go again. This is Puanani Rogers, your hostess here on this program of Living Sovereign, and sitting here at our studio is our guest, Shane Cobb Adams.
Aloha.
And we have on the phone.
And we have on the phone Kalama Ukaaina Niheo. And how you doing, Kalama? You want to segue into that?
I'm so glad that I had a minute to have a commercial break because I was just running across the road trying to get to out of the noise of the traffic. So I'm like, woof, woof.
So, right on, Kalama.
I had a little minute to catch my breath.
All right, on. Thank you. We appreciate that. What you got to do to stay on the air. Okay, shall we talk about your AHA now? Go ahead.
Sure.
And you know how it started.
Could we explain for the audience what is an AHA?
Oh, okay.
For many of our listeners globally,
it's usually a gathering. Of sorts with a specific purpose in mind.
Yeah, like a convention. No.
Naiapuni is calling it an AHA, a gathering of people, for a purpose of creating a governing document.
Mm-hmm.
We are a separate gathering of people that there's right now Naiapuni only has, like, even if you count all of their 100,000 people in the as being legitimately on the roll, which actually they're legitimately not. Their names have been hijacked onto this phantom roll. Yeah. Even if you include them all, that's still like 80% of our Kanaka Maoli people who are out. That also disqualifies all of our people who are Hawaiian nationals and also descendants of the kingdom that have a right to participate in this process. So we are, Naiapuni can go ahead and, you know, with their phantom, you know, role.
Yeah,
and
I think they only got.
The rest of us are going to move forward.
I think they only got actually about less than 19,000 actual signatures, because OHA had funded, I believe, $20 million to Naiapuni, and that's when they had representatives going out and basically paying people to take the list and the sign up sheet. And they told community organizers, because I had some kupuna from Vegas call me up, said, "Hey, boy, what is this going on over here?" And they said, "Oh, if you have a soccer club, you take this sheet and you sign people up for Naiapuni, and for every 10 people you get signed up, we give you $2,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So there was money behind that. And even after the 20
free
million.
T-shirts.
Yeah. Going on. Even after the money was spent, I believe they had less than 8,000 total signed up. And so they went hard again. And in the end, like Kalama said, they just hijacked names from the other OHA lists. And
yes.
They actually hijacked names from Department of Hawaiian Homelands lists.
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And I happen to be on them, on the OHA list. So, but I didn't find my name on their role. Did you look to see if you're on?
Oh, no. I have an application still 30 years with Department of Hawaiian Homeland. So, you know, and so they put me in that way. And several of my ohana throughout the mainland and who are staying in places throughout the world who called me up and go, "What is this?" And so that was the time, an opportunity for me to give them what the full-scale download story is of that whole thing. The problem is, and it's really irking me, is once again they're using our people pitted against for some of them they're thinking, "Well, this is a great thing. You guys have all in Hawaii, you worked so hard to pull this together." I said, "That's not our deal. That's not the direction we were going."
The way I look at it is that we're united against the process. The vast majority, they look at how much money they spent. Look at how much energy they put in. Look at the ways that they tried all the shenanigans and
subterfuge
and the fees to try and get people on. And when everybody pretty much said, no, we're not going to be a part of this process. So the Aha Aloha Aina is about,
another process.
They're saying that they're the voice of the people, and we're saying with a resounding aole.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the community. We are building. We're making the building blocks of our nation. We are not represented by these people, and all they're going to do is gather and reaffirm our independence, share what we've been doing over the past few decades, over the past few hundred years, and then go back to doing back to that work. And, you know, periodically we just have to pop our heads out of, you know, I got to pull myself out of the lo'i and take myself out of the clinic and just be like, hey, you guys are going to say you speak for the people? You know what? You don't. And we're just reaffirming what we've already said like 20,000 times. But, you know, you're trying to Shanghai it again. And every time you guys speak up and try to take and steal our process and try to steal our leo, we're just going to come out of the woodwork and we're going to, just like in the DOI hearings.
Yeah.
Back in 2014. We're going to come out in masses.
The DOI hearings was amazing. Like on Kauai, it was interesting to see really a united front.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Uncle Kikuni who wrote a paper a while back. And when I was in college, it really changed the way I looked at things. And he said in that short article that, you know, Hawaiians, we can fight against something pretty good, but we're never going to get to where we want to be until we get together and fight for something. And I think what's going on in the community is really, we're starting, you know, Na'i Aupuni is kind of this catalyst that's bringing us together to fight against it. But what inspires me is that Hawaiians are finally getting together and say, hey, we need to fight together for something. And that something is independence,
mm-hmm,
and freedom. You know, I have the Aloha Aina flyer here, and it says the humble goals are, one, to reaffirm our independence. And to me, that's Oya Kamehanui.
Aye.
To resist and oppose Na'i Aupuni claims to be the representative voice of our people. And I think that's important, because that's really what's bringing people together. Three, reject the current DOI endeavor to federally recognize Nakanaka Maoli as a native Hawaiian tribe. And I think that's important, but it's also important to remember that any laws that or rules that DOI makes are American laws.
Mm-hmm.
And those laws only apply within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually apply to the Hawaiian Kingdom. But our people still have to kind of live under them, because while we live under occupation, effectiveness and rule of governance comes from America, because they're the ones occupying us. So we still are subject to those laws and conditions until the occupation ends.
Yeah, but that also is a violation, because if we are occupied, they should be, we should be using our own kingdom laws.
Yes, they should in fact be governing Hawaii under Hawaiian law and applying Hawaiian law. And so that is actually a war crime, because when you get Hawaiians going into courts now and cases being adjudicated using American law in Hawaiian territory, that's an unfair trial under the Hague rules, and that constitutes a type of war crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just finish the flyer here. Number four, unite our people and reveal the many different ways that our people have been building and rebuilding our nation over the past several hundred years. And to me, that's the key, because when you look into Hawaii's history and you understand our kind of what I call our legal mo'oku auhau,
mm-hmm,
these iterations of illegal acts by America and the state of Hawaii become transparent, and you see them for what they really are, which is just America trying to assert influence over our nation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So a good point on the flyer. Mike Ka'ilau.
Oh, mahalo. Mahalo. We worked. There was a lot of people that were involved in this process, and we knew that our people are educated. We are varied. We have several passionate, differing opinions and points of view that we're bringing together. But these are things that we can definitely unite upon. And just a couple of things I'd just like to address is the idea that we can't thing, and but we won't unite for things. You know, for myself, you know, being raised, like, you know, being 20 years in Onipa'ana Hoikalo, where we see, like, 300 people come together to do the work that it would take a farmer to do 2 years within 4 hours.
Hmm.
I think that we know, we see Pai Pai He'ia, where people can get together. And I think we need to discard that that myth that they're putting upon our people, because we do it all the time. We do it all the time, and we build. We've been building. And there's people that are out there in the community every day fighting for things. And that's something that we have to really reclaim it in a very real way. That's beyond this that's beyond only legal issues. It's also a spiritual, cultural, and very manifold thing, that our people are united in so many different ways that we are, that it's being belittled by the mainstream community. So that's part of what we want to do, is like people saying, people are doing things, we're moving, we're shaking, and you can't define what it means to build nation. The second thing is, regards to like, in regards to the international law, I know that there's different folks that have certain opinions on how this manifests itself. But one of the things that I'm looking at, and I'm talking to, is some people who are actually highly placed at the United Nations level, who are advising us about how to seek alliances. And so, what from their perspective and what they're telling us, and this is coming from many different levels at the United Nations, but you know, pretty high up folks, saying that you know, the United Nations is willing to come in and provide a lot of support in a lot of different ways, like resources, political alliances, networking, and in some cases funding, which, by the way, we're not looking for. But they are willing to do that if we can start really articulating a united voice. And so this document that we're looking at is a way that the basically unties people's hands on so many different levels to actually come in and help us. We don't need to be saved, but I think we are, as a small nation, we need alliances. We've always needed alliances, and we're smart about that. So this is a part of thing, something that, and that's what Na'ia Puni is trying to do. They're basically trying to untie the hands of people in an international level to like, and they're trying to steal it, basically. People who are wanting to support the Hawaiian people, they're trying to steal funds, they're trying to steal resources and political alliances and support to support the Hawaiian people to become federally recognized. And we need to let those allies who could be very, very much in support, who are very, very much in support of our people, let them know that Na'ia Puni isn't the people to go to, because our people, the vast majority of our people, have wholesale rejected this process.
And we've got about 10 minutes left on our program. We want to let our listeners know that Sunset Jazz with Richard will be at the top of the hour. And you're listening to Mixed Plate Mondays, Living Sovereign with Auntie Pua Nani Rogers.
And if there might be any listeners out there that have questions or would like to chime in, our number is 826-7771. And
that's all.
That's it.
That's it. It'll all come
well,
to that
what
number.
Line is Kalama on? A different one. Okay.
She's on the same line, but the thing is it all goes through 826-7771.
Yeah. Maika'i. Right. And to all those that might be listening, live streaming on www.kkcr.org, mahalo for hanging in with us. Mahalo.
So just to let it be known and announced again, the Aha Aloha Aina will be Thursday, February 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Hawaiian Studies Department of Windward Community College.
Okay. All right. And is that...
That's actually going to be one. It looks like so far there may be six others as well. Basically, the Cortes Na'ia Puni and Aha Aloha Aina is a coalition of folks. You know, Oahu has too many times pretended like they're the only voice that matters and tried to kind of basically push around the other islands. So what we're trying to do is change that, and what we've tried to do is respect the moku and the mana and the ike of all the different islands. And so whoever is wanting to join in and unite behind this declaration, we've invited you to be a part of this process, to join into the declaration, to use it as a uniting tool, in your communities, however you seem fit. Anybody who unites with these principles can then create their own aha on their own island and join in the larger movement.
All right. So, Anthea, I'm just going to make one more announcement, too, that on Friday, February 26th, Kauai will also be having an Aha Aloha Aina. Because the principles that are, you know, when I look at the declaration reaffirming independence and protesting Na'iau Puni and United States federal recognition, when I look at it, I definitely support the principles. There are some legal things that kind of, for me personally, you know, are kind of touchy, like this part where it says reaffirm our right to independence and self-determination.
And self-determination.
That's a little problematic in law. If you're independent, you're already exercising your self-determination. And so the wording aside of wise, in the spirit of it, I think we're all there. And we're definitely pro-independent because we know our history on different levels depending on who you talk to. But the Kauai Aloha Aina will be February 26th from 5:30 to probably 9 o'clock. We're going to go a little bit longer. But Wilcox. Everybody's invited. It's be at Wilcox Elementary Cafeteria. And, you know, if you count yourself an independent Kanaka living in a sovereign land, come on down.
Come on down. We'll have food. We'll probably have some, maybe some
where
entertainment. Some
where?
Wilcox Elementary?
Wilcox, yeah. That's the same place we had our first one.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was quite a success in spite of all the challenges, we had with the weather.
Oh, big rain.
And
stoplights shutting down. Nobody from the North Shore, I think, was able to make the first Halavai.
Oh, that's right.
So all you Louise North Shore people.
Yeah, we had some.
Yeah.
Come on down.
It was a two-hour.
Yeah.
But
I watched the video. It was awesome.
Oh yeah, we had great speakers. Yes,
and we'll have some speakers on the 26th as well. I believe we'll have HSLP member Lawrence Gonshore, who's working on his PhD in Hawaiian political history and analysis. We'll also have Dr. David Kianusai, who's just returning from a trip to Europe, where he was advocating for the Hawaiian Kingdom in Switzerland. Who, by the way, has recognize the independence of the Hawaiian Kingdom. So if people out there tell you that no country has recognized the independence of the Hawaiian Kingdom, that is incorrect, because Switzerland, the other neutral country amongst the multitude of nations, has recognized the continued existence and current independence of Ko Hawaii Pai Aina.
Aye.
Oh,
see?
Awesome.
So we know who we are.
And we are who we were.
And we yes, we are. Okay, just one more announcement, too, though. You know, I'm the po'o for the Ahupua'a Councils of Punamoku. We're also having our usual monthly meeting, and that's every second Sunday of the month at the Kapa'a Library from 5 to 7 o'clock. If you come early, we can have some poo-poos and talk start a little bit before our meeting starts. And so we invite everybody, whether you're in the Punamoku or not, come on down. And that's because if you believe in malamaing, preserving, protecting our aina, our resources, that's what we do. We try to take care of those kind of concerns. And I would especially like to kaheao to our cultural practitioners, our lawai'a and our mahi'ai. And come see us if you have any concerns about any of your freedoms or your Hawaiian rights being taken away from you and you know, stopping you from doing what you want to do as far as fishing or farming. So it's February 14th. Happens to be Valentine's Day on that Sunday that we will be there at the Kapa'a Library, 5 to 7 o'clock. Please join us. Mahalo.
All right.
Okay.
And we got about two, three minutes left. So any last words, Auntie Kalama?
Oh, okay. I got one question. Kalama, what is the foreseeable outcome that you guys would expect when you put out this declaration and it's completed and signed? What's next?
One of the things that we did was during the revisions that we put out, what Shane had put in, had said was one of the slightly earlier versions of it, and where we just said current, the current endeavor, where we're actually saying all future endeavors as well. So we're looking at maintaining this declaration and keeping it open, so that people can continue to sign on to this. Our vision is to be just like the Kuwait petitions, and basically once we have these documents out there, we just have it be open, all these names be available to anybody that's a part of the independence movement to basically put forth and say, these people are standing for independence. This is a body politic. This is a group of political, educated people who are standing for independence. And anybody who says that they, that we're not a significant force, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. For those of our listeners out there who don't know what the Kuwait petitions were, when America tried to annex the Hawaiian Kingdom, they tried several times, and in their most kind of effortful and almost successful bid to annex Hawaii, treaties of annexation on their side was signed, and it was about to be ratified by the American legislature when Hui Aloha Aina and Hui Aloha Aina Tuahine, the Patriotic League of Hawaii and the Women's Patriotic League, got 98% of all Hawaiian subjects to sign the Kuwait petition. And so when...
Kanaka and non-Kanaka alike.
Yes. Non-ethnic Hawaiians who were subjects said, we do not want to be a part of America. And so it wasn't racial. It was a national thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a national pride of Kanaka-Uiwi and Kanaka-Hawaii subjects to express to America that they didn't want to be a part of America. And so when the Senate in the United States received those petitions, they said, we're not going to ratify this treaty. And so the annexation of the Hawaiian Islands failed.
Yeah, it's failed.
Because of the actions of Hawaiian nationals. And so we're back on that same path again, walking in the footsteps of our ancestors.
Ay, polole. And we're going to win. Go ahead, Kalama. One last thought.
The Wahines right now who are taking care of the Kuwait petitions are currently still going throughout the islands, and you can sign on again with your ancestors and your kupuna. That list is still growing.
Need your Facebook website name too. They can find you on Facebook for further information. Yeah, you have an
They can come to. There's Aha Aloha Aina on Facebook. There's also the ahaalohaaina.com. And they can also reach us directly through ahaalohaaina@gmail.com.
Okay. My ka'iloa.
Lovely.
And we do have to close and mahalo nui loa to our on-call guest.
Mahalo, yes. Kalama.
And to our...
Mahalo.
And to Shane here.
Yes. Mahalo, Shane, for being here. And mahalo to all our listeners for joining us. Please come back in another month. We'll be back first Monday of the month. And that remember always that we are sovereign and we are living in a sovereign land. So live it.
Yo.
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 Stay tuned. Aloha. Top of the hour, and it'll be Sunset Jazz with Richard.